Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. I am so excited to tell you today about my condo. Did you know that I have a condo? Okay. This is kind of a longer story today, and there aren't really any actionable, go do this after you hear this story. This is more how I have preserved my sanity, I guess, in my teenage 20s, 30s, and 40s so far. Like, the way that I have preserved my sanity is by having a condo. And I think for a lot of you, once you hear me say how I use my condo and explain to you how it has evolved over time, this is going to give you the permission you need to put yourself first. Now, I know in the podcast I've been doing this fall, I tend to talk about productivity in the fall because it is a naturally productive time. It's when people naturally set their plans and intentions for the next 12 months, and there is just a really productive energy to September, October, and early November, especially here in the US. So that's why I've been talking about productivity. And in some of those productivity episodes, people have come back and say, well, that's fine, but I am a people pleaser, or I want to put other people's needs first. And I want to tell you, I am like one of the biggest people pleasers there are. So the fact that you are telling me that you're a people pleaser, implying that maybe I'm not, by the way I'm phrasing those podcasts, is actually, in the past, I would have taken that as a feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm a people pleaser. Why don't they think I'm a people pleaser? And now I take that as a, yes, I'm making progress. I am not giving all of my power and all of my time to everyone else. They can see that I am prioritizing me. And I would say, starting in my early 40s, but especially in the last year, I have really started prioritizing myself over other people, including people in my family. And it has been really, really hard to do. And it has taken a lot of concerted effort, thought, and proactivity on my part. And some of you may be listening to this, although I don't think there are very many of you, thinking, well, she is so selfish. I don't think any of you think that I'm selfish. I think that's the story that I tell myself, that if I put myself first, that other people will think that I'm selfish, or I don't care, or I am spoiled. And the truth is, you know what they tell you in the airplane? You've heard it a million times. Put your oxygen mask on yourself before you help someone else. That's because if you pass out, you can't help anybody else on the plane. And I have often thought about this experience. When the kids were little, I flew a lot. Like, in my 20s and early 30s, I was on airplanes a lot, and I loved it. I actually love flying. I'm one of those people that love flying, really, really love flying. And I always thought, well, that's so selfish that you would put the oxygen on you before your child. But I always knew that logically you have to do it in order to help your child. Well, I think the same thing is true about your condo. So you have heard me say numerous times that children should view their bedrooms as mini apartments. And where I got this idea from was I did that. So when I was a kid, I was very, very creative and very imaginative, and I always wanted to start things and create things. One of the funny things is, you all know I can't spell, right? If you don't know and you're new to the podcast, hi, I'm Lisa, and I cannot spell, and I don't even know what grammar is. Like, I'm terrible at spelling. Well, on our block, there were 72 houses. I know that because I counted them, because I was going to have a newsletter that I created and I sent out to those 72 houses. Yes, I still have a copy of one of those. And no, nothing is spelled right. Like, nothing is spelled right. And I would send out this newsletter, and I created all of these little entrepreneur creative endeavors, because in those 72 houses, only two other houses on the entire loopy street had children. And I lived kind of out in the country. Like, now it's a little more, it's definitely suburbia, but to ride your bike would have taken a mile to get to some other neighborhood. And I'm not athletic, in case you didn't catch on to that so far. I'm not an athletic person. I had a bike, but I rode it around this one street. That's it. I never went out of this street when I was a kid until they built a subdivision behind us on the farm. And by then I was a teenager, and the only reason I rode my bike back there was to get clients, aka babysitting jobs. So I was not riding around to find other teenagers. And in the two other houses on our street, the kids that were there were boys, and the boys were older than me. So there were no girls on my street and no one my age on my street. So that left me with me and my sister. And my sister was 4 years younger than me. Now, we've already established I'm not athletic. And if you have a non-athletic child or you are non-athletic yourself, you know that that pretty much eliminates almost all extracurricular activities at school because almost everything is sports related. By the time I got to high school, I could be in yearbook and theater and all of those kinds of things. But really, if you're a grade school kid and you are not an athletically inclined or motivated type kid, there really are almost no extracurricular activities for you. I think we should maybe rectify that. But so there's not really extracurricular activities outside of my school. There aren't any kids in my neighborhood for me to hang out with, which leaves me and my 4 year younger little sister. Poor Emily. My sister's name is Emily. As soon as I went to school in first grade and learned what school was, I went to school in kindergarten, but I remember this in first grade, I would come home and sit my sister down and I would teach her everything I had learned. She was like, I don't know, three. And I would put her in school and she would be my student and I was the teacher. And later, I think I pretended I was a babysitter. She didn't like that at all. And I loved it. Oh my gosh. I loved it when babysitters came over because that was like a big person to come play with me. And I could go through their purse and find out what was in their purse. And pretty much, I think I was auditioning for my future babysitting job. Like I was taking notes as to what these babysitters did that was positive or negative so I could be a better babysitter when I was old enough. So I had one babysitter that actually snuck a boyfriend into the house. I knew that was a big no-no. Plus, I didn't like it if the babysitters wouldn't play with me. Like I always wanted the babysitters to play with me. So when I was a babysitter, I always played with the kids. Like that was my job, was to play with the kids. So I was taking notes of all the things going on around me. The other activity that I could do at my house was I could help my mom in her business. So when we moved to Akron, I was six. And about the time I think I was maybe 8 or 9, my mom started her own business out of our house. And it eventually became kind of like a direct sales business. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but it was a trunk show business. So back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was direct sales, but there were also these things called trunk shows, and they still exist. But essentially what would happen is these ladies would get these big cases, these plastic cases that had these straps on the outside that were delivered by UPS. And inside of each of these trunks that were like double the size of a suitcase, I think, I would never get on an airplane today, but these things would come to their house and they would get 1, 2, or 3 cases. And inside of the cases were all these sample clothes. And essentially, ladies who were reps for my mom's company and other companies, they would make their house into a store. It was the coolest idea ever. Oh my gosh. So they would have clothing racks and they would have all of these samples and you would be able to try on all of these clothes in different sizes and then place your order and the company would ship the order. So my mom's company was called The Fine Line, and this was the late 70s, early 80s. And at that time, women wore slips under their clothing. And even the department stores like Haley's was the department store we went to in the Akron, Cleveland area. They would have slips, but my mom didn't like the quality of their slips and they didn't always have the right sizes. So there are 17-inch, 19-inch, 21-inch slips and then longer. And then they come in white, ecru, black. Can you tell that I help mom with her store? And then my mom expanded out into nightgowns and children's nighties and even swimwear. And the company kept growing. So she started it in a couple of states. By the time she sold it, it was in 29 states. And so essentially, she created basically a direct sales business in our basement. And I think she did it for about 5 years before she sold it. So I watched my mom work and she worked hard. I mean, there was clothing everywhere. There was clothing everywhere in our basement. People came over and worked in our basement. I was allowed to fill out the UPS book and I got paid. That's the job I remember the most, which is hilarious because we already discussed I can't spell. So why we gave me a spelling job, I have no idea. But I loved working in her store. I loved getting a paycheck. I loved seeing other people working there, her employing other people. I just loved it. I loved everything about it. I knew my mom was exhausted because on Christmas morning, she would always be really tired when she ran the store. And now owning my own business, I understand why. But I loved watching her own her own business right out of our house. And my father was a salesman. So sometimes he worked from home, sometimes he didn't, but he was always out in sales, but not from our house. So those were the models I had. And that left Emily and I a lot of free time to do whatever we wanted because my mom was home, but she was working kind of like I am with my kids. And so I created this game that I called Big Friend. So Big Friend, because my sister didn't want to be babysat, and she wanted to pretend that she was big too, and so did I. And remember, we did have these bikes. So I wanted to be 16 in the worst way. I wanted to be 16 so I could have a car, so I could babysit kids, so I could get married, so I can have kids. Like, that was my whole life trajectory. And I decided that we would call our bicycles our cars. And then I made a map of, like, we lived on maybe an acre and a half, maybe an acre and a half, but we had a long winding driveway that started at the top and went all the way to the bottom back. We had a ranch house, and so that the plot of our land slanted down, and our garage was actually in the back of our house, but it was on a lower level. So if you were standing in the back of our house, it looked like we had a two-story house, but from the front, it was definitely a ranch house, and our garage was in our basement. So we had a long driveway, and then we had all these flower beds and trees, and I drew on this map different paths that we would ride our bike, and I named those the streets in the city. So the main road that our house was off of, which was not a main road, it was pretty much a little country road, that would be like the biggest road in our city. And then the next thoroughfare was the name of our driveway. And then all the little streets that I created in our yard, they each had real names that were real streets in our city. And so I would say to Emily, okay, well, let's meet at the cafe. So we would be pretend calling each other from our bedrooms, because those of you that are not in your 40s, there were no cell phones. And our phones had cords on them. And so we just pretended with our hands that we had cell phones, that we had phones to call each other. So we would call each other. I'd say, let's meet at the cafe. But we couldn't just walk to the cafe, which was our kitchen. We had to go there. Like, we were at our apartments. You can't just walk to a cafe. So we would leave our bedrooms, pretend to lock our bedroom doors. And then we would go get on our bikes and we would ride this little path. And then we would end up in the kitchen and be like, oh, what do you want at the cafe? And we would have our little cafe. Or sometimes we'd be like, hey, do you want to come over? And we'd get on our bikes and we'd ride this elaborate trail. And then we'd go into the other person's room. It was really, really fun. So I loved my bedroom, and my bedroom apartment, that's where my bedroom apartment came from, was the fact that it was an apartment. And Emily had an apartment and I had an apartment and we went to each other's apartments. I loved spending time in my room. And the only punishment I ever got was being sent to my room. Like if we were bad and we were punished, we were sent to our bedrooms, which really happened very rarely. But it did two things. One, it separated us, which was brilliant. And two, it gave my mom some time to, like, you know, do whatever she needed to do and then deal with us later, which is not a negative derogatory thing. It's how kids in the 70s and 80s were raised. And I never saw it as a negative thing. So even though I voluntarily was in my room almost all the time, when I was sent to my room as quote unquote a punishment, which meant I knew I was going to be there for at least an hour, I was like, oh, well, what productive can I do while I'm in my room? And my room was always usually pretty organized. So I would just reorganize it and move all the furniture or completely clean out the closet. Almost every time my punishment was up and I was allowed to come out of my room, I wasn't done. So what would happen is my sister would come in. She was not so interested in rearranging her room, although she's very organized now. She's a people person. My sister is a total people person, and I am an extrovert, but I can totally entertain myself for days by myself, like no problem whatsoever. So I now had started a project. I was completely redoing my closet or whatever I was doing. And my sister would come in, and I'd be like, oh, great, you're here. I would say, hey, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? And I would declutter my items right to her that she would greatly take in her room because I was the big sister, of course. She said part of her organizational problem was me. It's probably true. So I would reorganize my bedroom all the time. And when I had a babysitting job and had money, I would buy things for my bedroom. Like, I had a bedroom so that I could eventually go to college, so I could get married, so I could have a house, so I could decorate and organize that. Like, my trajectory of being a homeowner and a mom was solid from day one. So let's fast forward a little bit. That's my childhood. Sometimes I think childhood stories are fun. So I went to college. I had a dorm room. And pretty much once I moved out of the dorm room and I was in a shared house, I did the same thing. Even though I was in a shared house, my bedroom was my apartment, and I pretty much was in my bedroom in that shared house in college. I wasn't in the main living areas of the house. And then Greg and I got married. Or no, I was a year on my own, and I had a little loft apartment. So it was like an efficiency. So it had a living room, dining room, one room on the bottom with a teeny tiny kitchen and then a loft bedroom. So if you walked in my apartment and looked up, you could see my bed. There were no walls. It was very small. So it was like a really, really small apartment. But again, even in that apartment, I spent almost all my time upstairs on my bed. Greg and I got married and we had a two-bedroom condo. And then a year later, we moved into the house that we currently live in, that we've lived in for 20 some odd years, 21 years. So when we moved in our house, I thought, okay, I don't need to have an apartment anymore in my bedroom. I own the whole house, right? This is my whole house. It was so fun. I decorated the house. I had to really think back about when I didn't hide in my bedroom, because I do hide in my bedroom, by the way. So I would at night, we would watch TV in the family room and I would hang out in the kitchen. And when we had babies, I bought a house where if you put gates up, the living room, the family room, kitchen, eating area, and kitchen area is all contained if you just put two gates up, and the laundry room's on the first floor. These were my prerequisites for a house because I knew this is how I wanted it set up when I had babies. It was perfect. So I'd bring the babies down in the morning. I would put up the gates and we would live in that family room kitchen area all day. And I would just step over the gate to change the laundry. At the end of the day, we would give the kids baths, put them to bed. I'd come back down in the kitchen. I had installed, you know, redneck style, under cabinet lighting underneath all of my kitchen cabinets. And I would scrapbook or work on my direct sales business after the kids were in bed. And we had a little TV in the kitchen that I would watch as well. And I would stay up till, I don't know, 10, 11, 12. And then I would go upstairs and go to bed. And that is how I used our house for until the kids were about 2 and 3, maybe. And then here's the big thing that happened. I cannot remember. One of them had separation anxiety, and they did not like the fact that we would put them to bed and then Greg and I would go downstairs. They would cry. They just had a really, really hard time with us not being on the same floor. It took me a while to realize what it was, but it was I needed to be on the same floor as this child. I couldn't be on a different floor. And you know, I like to be productive. And when you have babies, the only time you have to be productive is after they go to bed. So I was like, fine, I will... Actually, both the kids had separation anxiety. So I said, I will work in my bedroom until they fall asleep and then I'll go back downstairs. But I'm a morning person. And so by the time we got to 9 o'clock when both the kids were asleep, I was too tired to go downstairs and work on a project. So slowly I realized that I was upstairs in my bedroom around 7 o'clock every night while we did bath and bed. And I would be in my room around 7 o'clock waiting for the kids to fall asleep so that they were comfortable that somebody was on the same floor with them. About this same time, TiVo was invented. And I was one of the very first TiVo purchasers. And I purchased TiVo for two reasons. Number one, I love TV. I have mentioned this before. I don't think TV is a bad thing. I like to be entertained. And number two, I really, really, a pet peeve of mine is to interrupt me while I'm watching a show I like. Like it just drives me crazy. Well, babies, toddlers are going to need you in the middle of your precious show. And they're more important than your little TV show, right? But by the end of the day, I'm tired and like, why are you interrupting my TV show? So when I realized there was a way to pause my current TV show without putting VCR tapes in a VCR, which is what I was doing before, I was one of the very first TiVo purchasers. And we put the TiVo on a TV in my bedroom. Now, I will tell you, I break all of the bedroom rules. I have a TV in my bedroom. As a matter of fact, a big TV in my bedroom. I have my office in my bedroom. I have food in my bedroom. Are there any more rules I could break about your bedroom? What do they say? Have no TV, don't put any food in your bedroom, and definitely don't work in your bedroom. I do all of those things. So turn it off now if you don't want to hear it. So the kids are 2 and 3. We have a TV in the bedroom. It was little at that time, with a TiVo set up to it. This was awesome because now I decided I wasn't going to be productive and work after the kids went to bed, but that was going to be my time to really do what I wanted to do, which was watch TV. So I would crank that TiVo up full of shows. We would put the kids to bed, and then I would watch TV in my bedroom. And if they needed me, I could just pause it. I could go take care of my kids, and then I could come back and watch my TV show. And I would take my bath, and I just started spending more time in my bedroom. Well, I love my bedroom. Like, when we moved into this house and we started decorating, the very first room that we decorated was the master bedroom. Who decorates their master bedroom first? I mean, elaborately, with wallpaper and new furniture and everything. We moved into this house. We didn't have anything in the living room and dining room. And I decorate the master bedroom first because I love the bedroom. I love that it's cozy. I love that it's warm because it's on the top floor of the house. I love that it's mine. Like, it's mine. I wasn't one of those moms that said the kids couldn't come in my room. Like, the kids can totally come in my room. And when they were babies, I did have like extra saucers and a swing in here. But once they were toddlers, their toys didn't come in my room. Their toys stayed in the loft and in their bedrooms and downstairs. I think that might be a little bit harder to do if you actually live in a condo. But my bedroom is not for kids' toys. It never was. Okay, so I'm doing the TiVo. Then there's this other thing that I added to our TV listening pleasure, which if you're in this stage, you would like. You know how in minivans, kids can listen on headphones in the back of the minivan and watch whatever's on the TV, and you as the driver don't have to hear it? Well, you can buy that system for your house. It's called a TV listener. It's really hard to find, so there might be a different brand now. But essentially, it's just this little disc that you put near your, you plug it into your TV, and then you use those little wireless headphones things, and the sound comes from that little disc. So now I could listen to my TV shows with those headphones on, low enough that I obviously can hear the kids crying or anything like that. But then I could listen to my, I don't have the best taste in TV. I watch, you know, Scandal and these shows that are not children appropriate for sure. Now I could freely watch my TV shows and not worry that a little toddler is going to come in my room and hear a bad word or see something bad on TV. And I can pause the TV without them listening to what I am watching. So that was another game changer for me in the TV area. Well, what happened over time was this separation anxiety did not go away. Like, you would think, well, okay, so that's, why are we still talking about this? Your kids are in high school. Yes, my kids are in high school. One of my kids still prefers that we be on the same floor of the house that they are. Like, they don't really feel comfortable in the house alone. And so because of that, you do what your kids need, right? And so I pretty much am in my bedroom every night at 7 o'clock. Number one, I love it. But number two, because it works best for my kids. Now, over time, what I have learned is because this is where I spend the majority of my evening, I have made my bedroom work for me. But as the kids have gone off to school and I came back home and started to organize 365, I have a gorgeous finished basement. I tried working down there. It was great when I did Creative Memories and had my scrapbook workshops. I loved working down there when all those people were down there. I don't like working down there by myself. Even though I have so many lights, it feels cold and dark to me. It's not. It's totally a mental thing. It's a gorgeous basement. I should have my office down there. I don't. Then I tried working in the dining room. And the dining room is, again, gorgeous, very sunny. It was hard to see my computer screen. I just didn't like having my office set up there. It was too loud. Like, when the kids are home, I can hear the kids. So I started working in my bedroom. And I started with TV trays in the little chair in the corner of my bedroom. And that's how I ran my business from 2012 to 2013. And then in 2014, I bought a small table. And in 2015, I bought a couple bookshelves. And now this year, I've just put IKEA furniture in here. And there's a whole wall of basically the Organized 365 headquarters is in our bedroom. And there's even the backdrop that you see on Zoom. It's in our bedroom. It's all in our bedroom. Because here's the thing. I am in our bedroom 90% of my time, way more than I'm in the kitchen. As soon as I drop the kids off at school and come home, I come straight up to the bedroom. As a matter of fact, if I change laundry or do dishes, the dog is waiting for me at the top of the stairs and he cannot figure out why I'm not in my bedroom. He's like, why aren't you up here? And when do I get my bone? So he comes up and he knows mom's in her bedroom all day. Pretty much I am in my bedroom all of the time. I love my bedroom. Now, you're probably not going to put your office in your bedroom and you might not get as elaborate with the TV as I do. Oh yeah, the snacks. Why do I have food up here? Well, I get hungry. You know, I might have a protein bar, and every night I eat nuts before I go to bed, and so the nuts are up here. And when the kids were babies, I had a little mini fridge in here with Cokes. I'm just saying, make it work for you, people. Make it work for you. There is no right. There is no wrong. And I don't even feel any guilt telling you all of this because this is my mini condo. So I've known all of this, but I didn't really realize how powerful it might be for some of you to hear this. So this is the takeaway. When you do the 100-day home organization program, I got the best compliment yesterday. I was finishing up virtual organizing with one of my original virtual organizing clients. And she said, Lisa, I've just finished going through this the third time. So the third time through the virtual organizing, or third time through the 100-day program, is when she signed up for the virtual organizing. And she said, you know, this organization just works. It just works. Like, I did the program. I did it three times. All of my spaces are, they are organized and they are staying organized. Like, what I've done before did not stay organized. This, the way you have us do this, it stays organized, which just warmed my heart. I was like, oh, will you write that down? So she said she would. So now you're listening to this podcast. You said you'd write it down for me. So it'll be on the sales page. But what I loved about that was that she is getting her house back and it worked. But she is getting to the point where a lot of you who have been through the 100-day program three times or more are. She is in the productive phase of life. So here's what happens. You are so overwhelmed with your house. You declutter and you organize and you declutter and you organize. And what happens is you start to get empty drawers and cabinets, which is so odd. It's so weird. You open up these cabinets and you're like, I should go buy something to put in there. Like, why do I have empty cabinets? Maybe we should downsize our house. At least this is how I think. And it's unusual to live with empty cabinets and empty drawers because you don't need the things that were once in them, even though you have the space to house them. It's really weird. What's even more bizarre is to have time in your day when for eons you didn't have enough time to go to the bathroom by yourself. How can I have whole days where I don't really know what I'm going to do? I know I'll organize. I'll take care of my kids. I'll go volunteer. I will go do for others. And here's what I'm saying to you. The whole purpose of getting organized, the entire purpose, is not so you have a perfect house and so then you could go figure out how to spend your time for others. The whole point of getting organized is so that you have extra time so that you can live out your purpose that you were uniquely created to do. You have purpose. You have value. You have something you were uniquely created to do. And we busy ourselves. We busy ourselves with helping others, with raising our family, with taking care of our house, with providing an income. Busy, 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 busy. I just said to Natalie on a Voxer the other day, I said, all right, so I've told everybody about these buffer days and these focus days and these free days. The problem is I'm going to have a free day in California and I have no idea what to do with it. So I think I'm just going to work. I'm like, I guess I could watch that movie Jackie that I've been wanting to see or read a book that is a fiction book, novel concept. Or just lay at the pool and take a nap. So I'm just going to put it on the podcast that whatever the Saturday is between October 17th and 25th. Let's see. Oh, you're going to be listening to this the day before my free day. Oh, you guys are going to all have to message me. I'm allowed to be on social media. That's a free activity. I am going to take a free day. I'm going to take a free day. Which means, well, I'm not going to be at home. So I can't do household. I can't do work. I can't do marriage stuff. I'm not going to do kids stuff. I'm going to take a free day. And I will tell you right now, I have no idea what that looks like. What does that look like? I have no idea. But I think it's important that I figure it out because I'm more than just a mom, a wife, a house owner, and a worker. Like, I'm more than that, right? Like, what does a free day look like? I don't even know. So this comes back to your house. Maybe you're not at this point yet and you go, oh my gosh, now she has days she doesn't even know what to do with. I don't know if I can listen to Lisa anymore. Listen to me. Just listen. I start the 100-day home organization program in the kitchen because the kitchen is where the majority of people spend their time when they're at home. It's where your family needs to eat. and we need to provide sustenance there. Again, if you've listened to the podcast, you know I'm not great at that. But the number one question I get, or concern I get, or once people start the 100-day program, complaint I get is, everybody messes up my organizing. Like, what if my husband and kids don't follow along with the plan that I set? What if they don't put things back? What if I can't get them to clean up their areas? What if? And when you start with the kitchen, I know this to be true, unless somebody else in your house does all of the cooking, whatever organization you set up in the kitchen, A, will last, and B, people will follow. Your spouse and kids really don't care how you organize the kitchen. They just care that there's food in there and that they know where stuff is. Now, you may have to, at the end of the 21 days, give them a tour, call everyone in, give them homemade cookies, whatever they need, and say, hey, let me introduce you to the new kitchen. You may want to spend some time labeling so they know, hey, this is now where bread goes, or all of the drinks are in this cabinet now. You may have to do a little bit of labeling to retrain people, but it will work. The kitchen does work, and that's where I start you all the time. Because it is, once your kitchen functions, everything seems to go smoother. But then days 22 to 42 are the bedroom, the master bedroom, bathroom, and closet. And to me, these rooms, the master bedroom, bathroom, and closet, which I don't talk about very often, are the most important for your soul. Like, the kitchen is the most important for the functioning of the household, for the family. The master bedroom, bathroom, and closet are the most important for you, your woman's soul. And here's why. This is where you get dressed in the morning. How do I feel when I'm dressed? This is where you go to bed at night. Do I get a good night's sleep? Do I have everything I need? This is where you get ready and for bed and in the morning in your bathroom. Do I have soaps that I like? Can I find the makeup that I want? Can I take a nice long bath if I want? This is where you regenerate yourself. Your bedroom, bathroom, and closet is all about you. If you're married, yes, it's about your spouse, but very little. I'm just saying, hey, you know, it's a little about them. It's 90% about you. It's about you feeling good when you wear your clothes. It's about you feeling good when you get ready in your bathroom. It's about you having a good night's sleep. It's about you having the next best book you want to read right by your bedside. It's about a little treat for you in your bedroom, a little mint, a little nuts, a little whatever kind of treat that you like to have. This is where I also keep my medication. Like, pretty much, if I had to move into a space that was just this bedroom with a little mini efficiency kitchen, I'd be just fine. The rest of the house is for the family, but this bedroom is for me. And Greg, yes. But it's for me. He doesn't spend nearly the amount of time in our bedroom as I do. Now, because I am in the bedroom after 7 o'clock every night, and my kids are going to go away to college soon. And I'm wondering, so when the kids aren't even here, am I still going to watch TV in my bedroom at 7 o'clock at night? And the answer is, yeah, probably. I probably am, even though we own the entire house. And I'm okay to tell you that, because this is my little condo. And in my condo, I have what I want, where I want it, and the kids aren't supposed to touch it. Now, they're teenagers. So I think teenager is code for kleptomaniac because they don't have money or a car yet, but yet they're starting to need adult things. So they come in and they get your Advil, or they come in and they get your mascara because they can't find their mascara or whatever. But that doesn't happen as much because the warden, me, is almost always in there to stop that at the paths. But in the kitchen, if you put scissors down in the kitchen and you have teenagers, you'll never see those scissors again. But if you put them in an office drawer in your bedroom, 90% of the time, your scissors are still in your office drawer in your bedroom. So I don't think that it's bad that as adults, we have a space that is ours, just like we're training our kids to have a space that is theirs. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I kind of like the idea that this house is like a mini apartment building. Like, downstairs is our little cafe, and we've got a little movie room if you want to go into the family room. But upstairs, we all have our own individual spaces. And I personally decorate my kids' spaces based on their taste. So Joey is a very, everything's red and black pretty much for him. So he has these really cool red and black decals on his wall that I painted on there, and all of his furniture is black. And Abby is really into royal blue. And last weekend we moved a bed that we had in the basement up to her room. So she now has a big bed, a queen size bed in her bedroom, and it actually fit. And she got rid of a whole bunch of other stuff. And she has a really cool teenage bedroom. Like, none of this matches the decor of downstairs. It is what the kids like to have in their little mini apartments, because next year Joey's going to be in a mini apartment off at college, which I'm still trying to let that sink in. So are you putting yourself first at all in the organizing that you're doing? And if you're really concerned about, will my kids or my spouse keep this area organized, or what their thoughts are on that organization, why don't you start with your bedroom? 99% of the time, your spouse really doesn't care what you do in your bedroom. Now, if you're going to decorate it, they might want to have a say, but if you declutter and organize your bedroom, you can really do that for you. If you are more organized than your spouse is, it might be more difficult, but it's not impossible. And if that is the case for you, then I want you to focus on your half of the bedroom. Did you ever watch the Brady Bunch? Wasn't it the Brady Bunch? I think maybe it wasn't the Brady Bunch, but one of those TV shows in the 70s where the kids divided the room. It might have been Full House, where they divided the room with a piece of tape. And then you had to like try to get out of the room because they shared a bedroom. The kids shared a bedroom. And so your mess was on one side and their mess was on the other side. And then the funny part was the person who lived on the side of the tape that was not near the door wasn't allowed to go out of the door. They had to ask permission to go through the other person's room to get out of the room. I told you I like TV. So if that's the case, you and your spouse have different levels of cleanliness or organization that you want, then put an imaginary piece of tape in the room. I don't care. Put a real piece of painter's tape in the room. And then say, this half of the room is my space. Take ownership, 100% ownership of some space in your house that is just for you. Just for you. Because until something is 100% yours, then there is always the ability to deflect or defer. Well, so-and-so left that out, or so-and-so isn't following my rules, or so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Once you have 100% ownership on even a part of a room, then all of the responsibility also comes on you. You need to declutter it. You need to organize it. You need to maintain it to your expectations. And if it doesn't happen, it's because you didn't do it, not because of some outside force didn't do it. And as you have success in this area with your bed, your nightstand, your floor next to your bed, then your organization and your ability to put order on your household will expand from there. And it will radiate out to the rest of the bedroom, or maybe your half of the closet and then your half of the bathroom. And once you have all of those halves done, then go to some other area. Usually, okay, what I did is I would go to the storage room. That's so odd. A storage room is really, really hard to organize. I know a storage room is really, really hard to organize. But I'll tell you one thing. Your spouse and your kids are not going to be down there saying, no, don't do it that way, because nobody goes in there. So if you can get your side of the bedroom and your side of the closet and your side of the bathroom organized, and you still feel hemmed in by your family, skip them all and go right down to your storage room or your attic or the front hall closet or a space like that where nobody's paying any attention whatsoever. And again, take ownership of your own items in that space. What memorabilia are you holding on to? What household decorations are you holding on to that you can readily let go of? And also, depending on your situation, I know sometimes your spouse is more, likes memorabilia more than you do, or holds on to more clothes than you do, and doesn't have as minimalistic of a mindset as you do. You're almost never going to have an equal match in the amount of clutter that spouses want to have. I have started saying that my husband is a minimalist. I never realized it. He really, really is. Like, definition of minimalist would be Greg, other than his clothes in his closet, but still there aren't that many. I never realized he was a minimalist. I guess my amount of projects that I've had around the house and everything that I have for the kids has never really bothered him, because he's also so easygoing and so gracious to me. He he's like, whatever, just do whatever. But as far as his own possessions, he has a dresser. He has two racks in the closet. He's got one golf bag plus my dad's and his stepfather's golf bags. And then he has a couple fishing poles. That's it. It's all the man has. It's all he wants. But he doesn't care how much the kids and I have or how we fill up this house. It doesn't bother him, but he has his stuff organized. So you get your stuff organized. Now, if you are drowning in your house and there's just not enough space, which is true for some of you, especially in the 100-day program that I'm seeing, you're using your spare bedroom as a storage room because you don't have a basement because you don't live in Ohio or for whatever reason. Couple of options you could do. Number one, in that guest bedroom, you could put in bookshelves with doors along one wall and kind of create a closet, and that could be your storage. That's a great idea. Number two, you can rent a storage locker. You can. I mean, I know they're expensive, but they're not like outrageously expensive. They're not as expensive as moving. So if you do get to the point where you are just feeling overwhelmed by the amount of memories that your spouse or your kids want to save, and it is crowding out the ability to make new memories in the house that you currently live in, then box it up and move it to a storage locker and label it. Like, okay, honey, I know that you love all of the stuff that your mom gave us out of her house. We're going to box it up, label it, and put it in a storage locker. And then when he wants to deal with it someday, he'll know where it is and it's all labeled. And when he doesn't want to pay for that storage locker, then you'll make a decision on that. Obviously, make these decisions together. Don't like dictate yourself. But there are ways that we could start taking back our homes and feeling more in control of the amount of stuff in our house and the order in which it's organized. So if you are feeling like I have to take care of my kids, my spouse, my job, my house, and you are at the end of the list, I want you to move yourself up to the top of the list. Not every day, not all the time. Like, we're not little divas over here or anything, but how about an hour a week? Could we start with an hour a week? Like, the first hour on Saturday is yours, or from 3 to 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon is yours. I would love for you to go on your calendar and pencil in an hour that is just for you. And also to do an organizational task this week, just on your stuff, your closet, your side of the bed, your area. Be a little bit selfish in this, because when you start to get yourself organized, I'm telling you, it's true, your family follows suit. Even my minimalist husband, when I started organizing, he started decluttering his items too. Because there is just an energy that comes from that positive place versus focusing on the other person. One last thing that I will say about this is that whenever we get frustrated with someone else, someone else's stuff, the way things happen in a family, in a space, and we take the focus off of ourselves and put it on our kids, our spouse, whoever, it is so easy to quickly go down the rabbit trail of, oh my gosh, I cannot believe they left these socks on the floor. Well, who do they think I am? They're made? I'm just going to pick up these socks. I guess I just have to do everything around here. You know what? We're not going to have socks. We're just going to wear flip-flops, and then I won't have to pick up socks. But you know what? They're just going to leave flip-flops out. Remember last summer? They had flip-flops. And pretty soon, you are in a bad mood, and you're mad at everybody over socks on the floor. I have been there more times than I care to admit. But when I look at the socks, and I just pick them up because I want this space to look good, I see the socks, I'm like, ooh, okay, socks are out. I'm just going to take 5 minutes. And I take 5 minutes and I do my Zamboni sweep and I walk around the house and I never stop picking up socks, dropping off here, picking up water bottles, emptying those out, moving these things and just straightening up the house. I'm doing that for me. I'm doing it for me. The person who left the socks there doesn't care that I picked them up. They'll leave them there again tomorrow. Nobody cares that I emptied out that water bottle. But all day long when I go in that kitchen and it's straightened and it's nice, that's for me. I'm doing it for me. And when I look around and see somebody left socks and somebody left a glass and somebody left this, and I start to that story in my head of, oh my gosh, do they just not even care about me? Blah, 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 blah. I stop myself and I go, I have 5 minutes. And I just clean it up. And then I think to myself, what project do I have left undone? What thing do I want to get organized? What work task do I want to attack today? What do I want to do for me to move myself forward. And then I keep making forward progress on my own organization. Because I tell you what, I'm nowhere near done. Nowhere near done. My house is organized. And I have minimalized the papers in this house so that pretty much most of what we have, we use and we love and we need. But I have a desire in 2018 to scan it all and get rid of my filing cabinet. So is that project done? Nope. I'm a year behind on my scrapbooks. Is that project done? Nope. I'm ready to go back through my storage room again. It needs to be cleaned out. And I have some office stuff in my storage downstairs, projects that I was doing on Organize 365 that I'm not doing anymore. And I don't think I'm going to go back to doing them. So I'm ready to declutter those. There's always more that I can keep doing in my own organization. So every once in a while, I stop and I spend a day like I did with Abby on Saturday, totally decluttering and organizing her room as a mom. But the majority of the time when I'm organizing this house, I'm organizing my own stuff. Because ladies, let's be honest, the majority of stuff in this house is ours. Unless you have preschool kids. Then in that case, the majority of stuff is your kids. And I just give you a pass for the next like 5 years. Go have a glass of wine and watch some TV and leave the toys on the floor. Like, it will get better. I promise you, it will get better. If you're stuck in crazy toy land, oh boy, just start limiting where those toys can be. Get them out of your bedroom and slowly move them towards their bedrooms by the time they're 9. All of their toys should be in their own room by the time they're 9. And until then, take a deep breath, take a lot of bubble baths, and enjoy your favorite TV shows. You guys have a great week.